Please remain standing for the reading of God's word, which this morning comes from Psalm 37. Psalm 37. This is God's word. Do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious toward wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger, forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil doing. For evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. Yes, a little while and the wicked man will be no more, and you will look carefully for his place and he will not be there. But the humble will inherit the land and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees his day is coming. The wicked have drawn the sword and bent their bow to cast down the afflicted and the needy, to slay those who are upright in conduct. Their sword will enter their own heart, their bows will be broken. Better is the little of the righteous than the abundance of many wicked. For the arm of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord sustains the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their inheritance will be forever. They will not be ashamed in time of evil, and in the day of famine they will have abundance. But the wicked will perish, and the enemies of the Lord will be like the glory of the pastures. They vanish, like smoke they vanish away. The wicked borrows and does not pay back, but the righteous is gracious and gives. For those blessed by him will inherit the land, but those cursed by him will be cut off. The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. When he falls, he will not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. I have been young, and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread. All day long he is gracious and lends, and his descendants are a blessing. Depart from evil and do good, so that you will abide forever. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his godly ones. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked will be cut off. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous will utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of his God is in his heart. His steps do not slip. The wicked spies upon the righteous and seeks to kill him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand or let him be condemned when he is judged. Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. I have seen a wicked, violent man spreading himself like a luxuriant tree in its native soil. Then he passed away, and lo, he was no more. I sought for him, but he could not be found. Mark the blameless man, and behold the upright. For the man of peace will have a posterity, but transgressors will be altogether destroyed. The posterity of the wicked will be cut off, but the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. Thus far, the reading of God's word. You may be seated. Let's pray together. Lord, we ask that you would give us insight and understanding to your word, that you would give us power to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Fret not. The psalmist repeats this imperative 3 times in the first 8 verses of the psalm. So therefore, heeding this exhortation must be of vital importance to us. One reason for its vital importance to us is because of our tendency to fret. And depending on how you are wired, how we fight off fretting in the flesh rather than the spirit, maybe through indifference, through substance abuse, or the perpetual pursuit of adrenaline-inducing distractions. We can fret not in the flesh in these ways that I just mentioned, or we can fret not in the spirit as God has commanded and taught us. Fretting is something which believers of all ages has struggled. And not fretting isn't something that you just master and then move on from. To not fret requires lifelong diligence, vigilance, because we will always, to some extent, live in the midst of evildoers and wrongdoers. We look around. We see evil flourish. We are tempted to fret. The Psalms are rife with descriptions of this state of affairs. To cite but a few examples, all we really have to do is look at 12 verses 12 and 14 of the psalm that we are in this morning, Psalm 37. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes at him with his teeth. The wicked have drawn the sword and bent their bow to cast down the afflicted and the needy, to slay those who are upright in conduct. The wicked have a problem with the righteous and they will not stop. That's just the way it is. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Consider Psalm 10, verse 3, beginning at 3. The wicked boasts of his heart's desire, and the greedy man curses and spurns the Lord. The wicked, in the haughtiness of his countenance, does not seek him. All his thoughts are, there is no God, or, depending on how you translate it, no God. He sits in the lurking places of the villages. In the hiding places, he kills the innocent. His eyes stealthily watch for the unfortunate. He lurks in a hiding place as a lion in his lair. He lurks to catch the afflicted. He catches the afflicted when he draws him into his net. So, there are legitimate reasons to be concerned, perplexed, or even distressed over the wickedness in which we live. But fretting takes this concern, this perplexity, and this distress to a whole nother level. And so the psalmist offers us wisdom with regard to the temptation to fret. That if we embrace this wisdom that he gives us, it can make all the difference between a faith that flourishes and a faith that languishes. So this morning, the psalmist directs us to several spiritual habits we must practice instead of fretting if we would flourish in the faith. The psalmist directs us to several spiritual habits we must practice instead of fretting if We would flourish in the faith. Before we get to these spiritual habits, we need to know exactly what the psalmist means by fretting. David writes in verse 1, "Do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious toward wrongdoers." The basic meaning for the word fretting is derived from a Hebrew verb that means to burn or to be kindled, especially with anger. But the particular form of this verb as it's used here in verse 1 and again in verse 7 and again in verse 8 has a reflexive meaning. What do I mean by that? It means, therefore, not just to burn or to be kindled with anger, but to heat oneself up in vexation, to be self-consumed with grief, fear, or indignation. So it's not just having to burn, but it means to stew in your own juices. It means to heat oneself up in vexation. We begin to fret. We begin to go to the next level from being concerned and perplexed and even distressed. We take that to the next level when we fret. We begin to fret when we obsess over evil rather than setting our minds on the things above. There's a difference between having these emotions and concerns and obsessing over them. It's a matter of focus and orientation. Verse 1, therefore, exhorts us away from maintaining a fixation on evildoers, because your faith will languish if you focus on the wrong object. If you focus and obsess over the evildoers and the wrongdoers around you, you're focusing on the wrong objects and your faith will languish. Even our English dictionary is instructive here. One entry defines fretting as, quote, "to wear away or consume by gnawing, friction, rust, corrosives, etc." Fixation on the wicked is corrosive to your faith. It consumes your vigor and breeds discontent and distrust in the providence of God. Envying wrongdoers has the same corrosive effect on your faith as fretting over evildoers, but it approaches it from a different angle. So the psalmist directs us to several spiritual habits we must practice instead of fretting, if we would flourish in the faith. First, he directs us to consider the transience of evildoers and wrongdoers. He says, "Do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb." And then we can go look at verse 35 of the same psalm as well. "I have seen a wicked, violent man spreading himself like a luxuriant tree in its native soil. Then he passed away, and lo, he was no more. I sought for him, but he could not be found. Mark the blameless man, and behold the upright, for the man of peace will have a posterity, but transgressors will altogether be destroyed. The posterity of the wicked will be cut off." How many times did we read the term "cut off" in this psalm? They will be cut off. Evildoers focus on enlarging themselves in the here and the now, but in the grand scheme of eternity, they have no future. for all their prosperity, for all their the fear that they seek to inspire. They are shooting stars, men of straw headed toward a burning furnace. What else ought we do instead of fretting if we would flourish in the faith? Verse 3. And you don't need a college degree to understand this. Trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. John Calvin on this verse notes, quote, "It is not without good reason that the psalmist begins with the doctrine of faith or trust in God, for there is nothing more difficult for men than to preserve their minds in a state of peace and tranquility, undisturbed by any disquieting fears while they are in this world, which is subject to so many changes." I think Calvin puts his finger on an important point here. Fretting deteriorates your mental health. And it can even lead to physical maladies, hypertension, strokes, ulcers, you name it. Do you seek greater soundness of mind? Soundness of mind blossoms where faith flourishes, and faith flourishes when we cease fretting. Trust in the Lord and do good, the psalmist says. Serve God by surrendering your circumstances to Him. Translate your confidence in Christ into active obedience. Then he says, dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Don't settle for fits and starts that come with half-hearted obedience to God. Give Christ the careful devotion that he deserves. Half-hearted obedience, half-hearted devotion begets fretting. Why shouldn't it? Give Christ the devotion he deserves. Focus on him. Verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. We debase the meaning of this verse when we take it to only mean God will just write us a blank check to satisfy our every whimsy. If you've been coming to this church for any amount of time, you probably have noticed a distinction between myself and Joel Osteen. We debase the meaning of this verse when we take it to only mean God will just write us a blank check to satisfy our every whimsy. What if it implies something much more profound? What if the more we delight in the Lord and the more pure our hearts become, and therefore the more clearly we see Christ and the one who, as the one who satisfies our deepest needs and longings as image bearers of God. In other words, as we delight ourselves in the Lord, He weans us off the shallow satisfactions associated with superficial living and replaces those things with contentment, joy, and fulfillment only found in Christ. He weans you off the superficial, shallow satisfactions of the world and gives you an acquired taste for things that really satisfy, really give contentment, and really give joy. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart, because now you know what desires really are, what proper desires really are. What is the next spiritual habit we must practice instead of fretting if we would flourish in the faith? Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him and He will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. As Elder Renner told me, the first time I tried to drive up his driveway in the snow and in winter, you gotta commit. You can't get up that driveway just like, you know, well, maybe, no. You just have to commit. Sure, salvation is all of grace, but God gives us grace so that we would be all in. That we would be all His. Rather than living by fretting, live by committing. By lining up all your priorities and commitments with your chief end in mind. Regardless of whether this world rewards you or curses you for doing so, you will be vindicated on the last day for committing your way to the Lord. You will shine bright in the resurrection of the righteous, even as evildoers and wrongdoers sink down into darkness and dishonor. You will shine brightly as the noonday on the last day. And then there are times in God's grace where He even vindicates us in this life. And that is a real blessing. You got to commit. Verses 7 and 8 contain the other two uses of the word fret in this psalm. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. How does one rest, wait, and not fret? The secret of the Lord is for those who fear him. Psalm 25:14. I also like the way the psalmist puts it in Psalm 31:19. How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you have wrought for those who take refuge in you before the sons of men. You hide them in the secret place of your presence from the conspiracies of man. You keep them secretly in a shelter from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has made marvelous his loving kindness to me in a besieged city. So here the psalmist isn't sitting in an ivory tower somewhere or in a condo in Maui waiting for his super yacht to be vacuumed. He's in a besieged city. If that wouldn't make you fret, nothing would. But he says, you hide me. There's a secret place that God brings us where we can not fret in the midst of those things. And I'll say more about what exactly that means in a minute. But the thing is, God empowers us by His Spirit to possess inner peace in the midst of living among the wicked. But when I say God empowers us by His Spirit to possess inner peace in the midst of the wicked, that doesn't mean everything always turns out okay. That's not like some special force that the wicked sense and stop being wicked or leave us alone. They might very well act out all their wickedness among and very close to us or upon us. You can still have inner peace when you're rightly oriented to God. So against the ever-present turmoil of anxious living, and in contrast to the scheming of evildoers, which seems to be succeeding, writes one theologian, the righteous are to stop and to wait for the Lord to provide for them and protect them. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out evil schemes. Doesn't Peter affirm the same idea in 1 Peter 5:6? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Maybe we should say, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God's providence, that he may exalt you at the proper time, even in either in this life at some point or in that resurrection on the final day. Casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. I think we understand this even on a human level. Circumstances won't change, but there's a certain person in your life that speaks to you and encourages you and prays with you. You change even though the circumstances don't change, and it's a whole different ballgame. That's how God works. This isn't a magic formula that just disperses the wicked. This is God working in us to see things differently, act differently, and still serve him in those circumstances. And he may change them as well. Resting in God and waiting patiently for him rather than fretting requires active, focused faith on your part. This isn't about being passive. It's about securely fastening your helmet of salvation on your head and donning the rest of your spiritual armor as you go about your everyday business. This is something you must be vigilant about. Fretting thrives in a divided heart. Why wouldn't it? Fretting thrives in a divided heart. Verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil doing. Did you ever notice that about yourself? When you fret and you start stewing in your own juices and you start getting angry, then what happens? How do you treat the people around you? How do you make them feel? How do you drive when you feel like that? Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil doing. Wait a minute. I thought we're not supposed to fret because of evildoers. Now we're becoming evildoers because we are fretting. We become a part of the problem. We give reasons for other people to fret because now we're doing evil because we fret. We have all crossed paths with the professing Christian who obsesses over the wicked. They fume with indignation. They rant and they fret. They obsess over evil rather than setting their minds on the things above. Their faith languishes rather than flourishes because they are focused on the wrong thing. And it leads to evil doing of one kind or another. Just talk to the people that have to live with them. Let's be honest. It's church after all. Imagine spending a fraction of the energy that you spend watching C-SPAN and listening to the police scanner all day. Imagine spending a fraction of that energy cultivating a biblical mindset by studying the scriptures, reading the creeds and catechisms, doing a little classic reading of the classics, reading a little church history, finding little ways to sincerely encourage others around you and shine your light in the darkness. One of the best things depressed people can do is to do something nice for somebody else. Depressed people need to get out of themselves. The best way to do that is to do something for someone else. Evil has a way of infecting the one who focuses on it. Fixating on the works of evildoers darkens the mind, foments discontent, and fosters frustration with the providence of God. Refusing to fret may not change your circumstances, but it changes you. It changes you. And it will align you with the way God wants you to use your mind. And that will lead you to living a life that pleases God and blesses others. I think this is really critical here. Refusing to fret. Do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers. It may or may not, it may not change your circumstances, but it changes you. It will grow you. It'll exercising the wisdom God gives us is what gives us peace. Is what strengthens our commitment to the Lord. Isn't that what we want? Verse 16, better is the little of the righteous than the abundance of many wicked. Why? Why is that the case? Why is it better to have the little that the righteous have than the abundance of not just the wicked, but many wicked? Because the righteous have peace with God and are content in God. Not in some superficial mental gymnastics way, but in reality. For the arms of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord sustains the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their inheritance will be forever. They will not be ashamed in time of evil, and in the days of famine they will have abundance. So I say all this that I just read, all these blessings of God reflect a different dimension on what it means to be in the world, but not of the world. What do I mean by that? God empowers us to march to the beat of a different drum. You should be anxious. You should fret. You should this. You should that. God empowers us to march to the beat of a different drum. Christ sustains us with hidden manna as we draw closer to our heavenly home. Christ supplies us with hidden manna. He supplies us with an inner strength and peace that the world does not know. It can't know. Jesus said so. But it all must begin within. What we focus on, what we obsess over, or what we're devoted to. That's why the Apostle Paul exhorted the Philippians with these words in chapter 4, verse 8. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, If there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, what? Dwell on these things. Dwell on these things. Isn't that different than obsessing over the wicked? Dwell on these things for good reason. This will, among other things, give you good mental health. I mentioned before in another sermon that there was a lady in a church that I met that just had panic attacks and was visibly anxious and shaken. And she said her counselor or psychologist, whatever it was, because she watched horror movies too much. Well, I said, well, stop watching horror movies. I can't. I love them too much. Do you see the connection? What we focus on, what we obsess on, it affects us. It affects our faith in God. It causes it to languish instead of flourish. Therefore, whatever is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, good repute, anything of excellence, worthy of praise, dwell on those things. The things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So trust in the Lord and do good. Cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. These are the spiritual habits we must practice instead of fretting if we would flourish in the faith. Don't fight off fretting in the flesh rather than the spirit. Don't fight off fretting in the flesh through indifference, through substance abuse, or the perpetual pursuit of adrenaline-inducing distractions. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Filter your thoughts through the Word of God. Turn over all the cares of this life to the Lord and leave them with Him. And again, this isn't a one-time fix. This is a bias, an orientation, a point of focus for a fruitful faith. God offers you hidden springs of living water so that you might flourish in the faith, wherever you find yourself. You're not beholden to circumstances to fret not. You're not beholden to circumstances to flourish in the faith. Flourish in the faith wherever you find yourself. Fret not. Let's pray. Lord, we struggle with fretting. We thank you for your word and your spirit and ask you to help us properly orient ourselves that we might fret not, but fix our eyes on Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.